Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right. Well, first of all, hey, we're so humbled and honored to get to share with you. I know we've grown so much from hearing many of the other leaders sharing their stories, and we just hope that God will use our story here today and be glorified through it. But let me pray to open us up real quick, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, God, we're just so thankful for this church and God, how you're moving here. And God, we just ask you to continue to grow us. God, we thank you for all the stories that have already been shared, and Lord, just how much you've worked through so many of the leaders here. And God, we just pray that you would use our story here today to be glorified. And just God, as we share about your sufficient grace and how you've moved in our lives to replace striving or replace fear and anxiety. God, we just pray that hearts and minds would be open here and that you would just be present here with us and move through this story. And we give it all to you in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you can go to the next slide, we've got a couple pictures to start off. We'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. We love to tell stories, so we could talk forever about our background and all of that, but we'll just touch real quick on a little bit about us. We met in college. We've been married now for 13 years, 14 years coming up May of next year. Two kids, if you haven't met them yet, you've probably seen them or heard them because they are little balls of energy, Daniel and Elizabeth. They'll be 4 and 7 later this month, so we're excited to be celebrating their birthday. And you see many of the pictures here, almost all of them have activities involved because we do that to get their energy out in as many ways as we can. Rock climbing, biking, or even Nerf gun fights. So lots of fun from that. We had the opportunity to move here to Taiwan just in February. So we had the opportunity to come here with my job as a marketer at Dell, and just super excited for what God has for us in Taiwan. We've already felt him growing us so much in even just the short period that we've had. And lastly, I am Hen Gao. I'm very tall, so I'm going to sit up here. Otherwise, I'm going to get a sunburn from the lights, I think. So that's why I've got the chair behind me. But, as we prayed about what to share today, we really felt God calling us to focus in on some key themes of how he's transformed our lives. And so specifically, we're going to break it up into a little bit of our upbringing and that salvation or transformation. And Lauren will talk through both of those first. And then we'll come and wrap up with a bit more of the calling that he's been putting in our lives and how he's been growing us here recently. But Lauren and I were joking with each other yesterday about who should start with the story first. And if you guys don't know us super well, she loves to talk a lot more than I love to talk. So we're going to let her go first. And if that means that I can maybe shorten mine a little bit, keep us on time, we'll do that. So.
We're a good team.
Lauren, I'll hand it over to you to talk about your upbringing and your salvation.
Sure. So the theme that I chose for really synthesizing my story to share with you today is abiding in Christ to overcome fear and anxiety. And so if we go to the next slide, you can see some photos from my upbringing. So I was born and raised in a Christian family in the southern part of the U.S., if you're familiar, I'm from North Carolina. And I grew up in what's called the Bible Belt. So going to church was a part of our weekly routine. We were there multiple times a week with youth handbells, youth group, performing. I played trumpet and with the Christmas performance. So we were just there all the time. And so growing up in the Bible Belt meant that almost everyone we knew went to a church. There was, churches everywhere. And so it almost felt like we lived in a place where there was a lot of cultural awareness about Jesus, but not so much of that life-changing relationship that really spurred us on towards Christ-likeness. So in the photos, you'll see me with my dog. She was my confidant and best friend. I told her all of my secrets and she never told anyone. My sister, the photo in the middle, so that's me in a marching band uniform, and my sister was on the homecoming court. She was way more popular than me. My family, as you can see, there was the photos of our wedding are my family and Kevin, and then you're missing out on the Kevin family photos and me, so I bring down the height a little bit. And just a picture of sports. Sports were very popular for both of us growing up. A little closer. Okay. Oh, wow. I sound different. Okay, so I accepted Christ when I was young, and I was baptized at age 9. But without a clear path for discipleship, I was easily influenced by the world around me. I was also parented with a very strong view of consequences. So they gave me biblical truth, but then it was also, you know, don't have sex because you could end up pregnant. Don't drink, you could gain weight. So I was always striving for perfection. I was always trying to follow all of the rules, and I was constantly worried about failing or messing up. And so even though I was saved at age 9 and I had decided to follow Christ, I developed a lot of fears and anxiety, and it led to insecurities in my life that really choked out my faith as I became an adult. So on the next slide, really this parable about the sower and the seeds, the third seed really described me. But the first seed is when someone hears the word, that seed falls along the path and the enemy snatches it up because they don't understand. The second seed is when someone hears the word, but there's no roots. It doesn't last in their life. So that's like the seed on rocky soil. And so when they face trouble or persecution, their faith is nothing they can rely on. But for me, I was the third seed. So the seed falling on among the thorns. So I heard the word, but the worries of this life really choked it out in my life. And so there was no evidence of Christ's life change in me. So on the next slide, what's interesting is that from the outside, I looked really successful, but I was really living a double life. I felt like I was made and called to be a leader. I had been given a very adventurous spirit from God, but I was constantly battling internal extreme fear and anxiety. And this, I kept pushing through to do things that I felt I was called into, but with my own strength. And so when I failed, I was in this cycle of guilt and shame. And when I succeeded, it really just fueled my pride. I wasn't turning to the Lord. So from the outside, again, you couldn't tell. I got trumpet solos in my marching band. I was captain of the dance team. I became drum major my senior year. That's the person that everyone's looking at, and you're conducting the orchestra. So you'd think I liked attention. In college, I actually won the Outstanding Student Award for the entire College of Management. Straight out of school, I was in a high talent development program at a high tech firm where I was actually sent to Singapore because of high performance. And I gave lots of executive presentations, actually left corporate America to start my own business in an industry I had never been in before. But I thought, hey, I did some research and there's a market opportunity. And if not me, then who? So I left and started something new. So really, I hid my secret fears very well. So to share some of those fears, I had a fear of gaining weight. I actually had a boyfriend in college or in high school that told me that I was fat, and it made me very self-conscious. And so even having my kids and pregnancy, I believed the lie that gaining weight would make me unlovable. I had a fear of being found out as a fraud. So I said I was in this high talent development program. I was constantly having pressure put on me to be the smartest guy in the room. And I was believing the lie that my value was based on my worldly success. So I was trying really hard to, you know, perform. I actually had a fear of public speaking. So even though I did lots of executive training, executive presentations, even had dreams of becoming a public speaker and trainer, I was actually terrified. And so I would spend hours preparing what I was going to say and bullet pointing it, maybe even writing it on my hand so that I wouldn't forget what I was going to say and I could run through it kind of mindlessly. Again, that lie was that I had to perform so that I could earn acceptance, approval, and love. Also, random fear, I had a fear of public transportation. So even though I was an orientation counselor at my college, I was teaching everyone about the glories of university and how this closed loop bus only dropped you everywhere on the campus, you couldn't get too lost, I was terrified and wouldn't use it myself. So actually had that fear headed, I faced that fear head on actually by joining a friend when I, senior year, decided to go to Switzerland and visit her while she was studying abroad. We got on a train and we went from the French-speaking part of Switzerland, where my friend knew French, We went to the German-speaking part where none of us spoke German, and it turns out my worst fear, we pulled the stop chain and train didn't stop. So 30 minutes later, we ended up in another part of the country, ended up having to work through a foreign language, a foreign country. Turns out the train doesn't stop often, and that's get on the next one and go back. It was fine. But really, I kept this pattern of I was completely terrified, but I'd step in faith anyway, but then relying on my own strength just kept failing. And so lastly, the fear that all really resulted in was I was afraid to share my faith. I felt like I didn't know enough. I needed to learn more before I could talk to someone. I felt like I couldn't answer other people's questions because I didn't even question my faith. I was scared of what I would find. So I didn't talk much about my faith. And the lie I believed was that it all depended on me and my knowledge and my strength. So again, I looked like I had it all together. I don't know if we have the, probably that slide's redundant now. But I looked like I had it all together. On the inside, I was drowning. And my identity was wrapped up in my career. And I had made my career an idol. So no matter how much I served that idol, it was never enough. It left me extremely insecure about my value, my worth, my gifting, and my life purpose. And what's interesting is when you serve an idol, it does not bring you life. It brings you death. And so even though I knew about Jesus, even though I was raised in a Christian home, I did not spend enough time with God for him to change my life because I didn't give him the opportunity when I didn't invest in knowing him personally. So turning point in my faith, really kind of salvation, redemption story for me, was taking baby steps towards God. And when I finally hit a wall, it was around 2012, I decided I needed to really make a huge life change, or God wasn't going to be able to help me stop serving this idol and serve him instead. So I stepped into something called the Daniel Fast. It's actually based on the book of Daniel, the story when Daniel was in captivity from the Babylonians, and he refused the food from the king's table. So he said, I don't want the fancy wine and nice meat and dessert, all of the things. I want to eat vegetables and water, and then prove yourself, through prayer that the Lord would strengthen him. And so I followed that eating path, but it was more about when I was giving up the things that I was relying on, which was a lot of caffeine and a lot of sugar to try and prove that I could do things. I really prayed through self-discipline and really spiritual self-discipline. I knew that I wasn't excited about getting up and reading God's word every day, but that was really important. So I wanted to develop that habit. And also being the overachiever I am. Normally they say just pick one thing to fast through. I picked two. The second thing I chose was contentment because I felt like the Lord was calling me out of corporate America, but he hadn't done it yet. And so I wanted to be content with where he had told me to be and let him lead me. So the Daniel fast was my first baby step. Another baby step was stepping into a women's Bible study where we studied biblical womanhood. So I learned what it meant to be a child of God, what it meant to be a woman of God, what it meant to be a wife, how I could reflect Christ in that role as well as in the future being a mother. And I grew in community and started trusting other believers. I later joined a small group where I learned how to memorize scripture. I was with women that knew how to really pray deeply, and they taught me how to do that as well. And they also helped me uncover false beliefs that I had about the Lord, pointed me to scripture to point out where those were false and how I could lean into truth. Another big turning point, baby step, was when Kevin and I decided to read through the Bible in a year. It took me a little bit longer than a year, but just having that time set aside to dive deeply into scripture and learn and tackle the parts of the Old Testament that were not, super exciting or I didn't really know anything about made a big difference in my growth. And then lastly, I completed a spiritual leadership training program, which was basically seminary on bullet points. I actually finished that right as we moved here to Taiwan. And it helped me learn how to make observations and applications from Old Testament, New Testament scripture, as well as wrestle with some of those tough concepts and ask questions without feeling like asking questions was going to undermine my faith. So basically, in summary, I learned from John 15 how to abide in Christ. The more time I spent with God, the more his truth saturated my life, and my fears started to slowly melt away. And so I learned that, my identity was as a child of God. I learned that I was valued not because of what I could contribute to society, but because I was chosen and adopted by God through Christ. I learned that God had a unique and joyful purpose for me in life, that if he's calling me to be a leader, but being a leader is terrifying, that maybe there's something he's still working on in me. And lastly, I learned that I was loved and I was eternally secure because of my relationship with God and the Holy Spirit placing that seal of a deposit on my heart. So when that happened, John 15:8 became true, and it says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So it wasn't because of anything I did to overcome fear, but it was because of learning to abide in Christ, turning to him and letting him define me, which really helped me overcome fear and anxiety. So I'll turn it over to Kevin to share more about his upbringing and faith journey.
All right, thanks, Lauren. So if you go to the next slide, she'll talk more, we can clap then too, yeah. So, you know, my theme that I'll talk about is really replacing my striving with God's sufficient grace. And so, you know, similar areas that we struggled in, I think in both of us, God replaced something that we had, me striving for success and approval, and her, it was more about fearing anxiety. But in both of us, God really transformed us by replacing those things with his grace. So I'll tell you a little bit about my upbringing. I was born in upstate New York, actually on a sheep farm. I'll tell you those stories another time. Spent most of my life growing up in Austin, Texas. And much of my upbringing was very American. So sports, Boy Scouts, cars, and church. And to be honest, pretty much in that order. Spent a lot of time on the baseball field, a lot of time on the basketball court. Most Sundays we would be in church. But it wasn't the top priority. And unlike Lauren, where, you know, there were multiple touch points in the week, really it was Sunday morning, it was the right thing to do to go to church, and so we went to church. My parents were very engaged, very loving, always provided for our every need. Even though we were super busy between myself and my brother, who's 2 years older than me, doing all of these activities, they did a really good job of our family was pretty much always around the dinner table together. And so because of that, we did have a strong family unit, which I'm so thankful for that my parents did that. I was really raised to believe that there was nothing I could not achieve as long as I tried my hardest. Nothing. Whatever it was that I wanted to go after, as long as I tried really hard at it, then it was mine for the taking. And whether that was being first place in every, you know, basketball and baseball season, or making All-Stars, or striving for Eagle Scout and Boy Scouts, you know, achieving that next level, even actually in church. So I grew up in the Methodist church, and it was about becoming an acolyte, because that's what kids who were really good at church did. They became acolytes. You know, going through confirmation class and all those things. And you know, what it really resulted in me is I put myself first constantly. And so the verse Matthew 20:16, so the last will be first and the first will be last, continues to be a constant struggle in my life. Like the initial thought that goes through my head is, how can I achieve more? How can I get more out of this situation, as opposed to challenging myself, as God's teaching us in this verse, to put others first. And know that it's not about myself, but it's about loving others and, you know, really putting them ahead of ourselves. And so, you know, that's a verse that, as I look back, was a struggle for me. When I was growing up, I absolutely believed that there was a God. I think I was one of more of those cultural Christians, right? I practiced the moral rules of Christianity, but I absolutely missed the relationship part. For me, I was trusting in my own effort, and you know, that really went back to me thinking I can achieve anything. And in that list, it was achieving heaven, achieving a relationship with God. And because of that, I made it very transactional, my relationship with God. It was about seeking success and approval. I really wanted approval from God, and I believed that doing the right things whether that was following certain moral codes or giving money or you know, whatever was on that list, all of those things, I needed to be successful for God to bless me and to let me into heaven. And so most of my upbringing was very focused on whatever was in my head of success at the time across all those different activities that I was in. And, you know, it wasn't really until I got to college, and, you know, God uses time of significant change in our lives to really grab a hold of us. And so for me, that was when I was making the transition of going away to school. We went to North Carolina State University in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's actually where we met each other. And man, really quickly in college, it became clear to me that it is really hard to do all the right things. And you know, this idea of seeking God's approval by achieving and doing all those right things, he really just revealed to me my sin nature very early on in that transition into college. And this idea of earning a ticket into heaven just seemed impossible. And so God was starting to work in me in that way. And at the same time, you know, I really loved playing pickup basketball when we were in college. And very first time I went to the gym and played basketball, and you can imagine in big college campus playing pickup basketball, there were probably 130, 150 people all there playing on 20 different courts. I mean, it's a huge gymnasium. And this this guy, Jared, came up to me and started to just engage with me. He was a senior, and he just started to, you know, connect with me. And you know, it seemed like every single time I went to go play basketball, he was there. I had no idea, because he's a senior, he's getting ready to start his career, yet he always managed to be there playing basketball whenever I was there. And just really built a relationship with me. And at the time, I had no idea, but a relationship that would change my life forever. And one of the things that he did is he invited me to Campus Crusade, or CRU. If you guys aren't familiar, that's a college ministry. It's very common in the U.S. North Carolina State is actually one of the biggest gatherings of CRU. We would have 1,000 to 1,200 students every Thursday, I think it was, gathered together in this basketball gymnasium on campus. And, you know, he invited me to that, and that was really the first time that I comprehended the gospel and started to understand more of the magnitude of what Jesus did on the cross. But I still was very hesitant. I believed that I was a Christian. I believed that, you know, my upbringing and my sprinkling baptism as a child and all those things, I was very much stuck in. I understood it, but I believe that I already had given my life to Jesus. And the other thing that Jared did, if you go to the next slide, he invited me to his Bible study. And so these are some of the guys. So Jared is second from the right in the green shirt. You notice all of us are very tall, so the guy in the orange shirt had to stand on a bucket to be in the picture with us. That's Marty.
Our groomsman actually went like Kevin down to Marty. So
yes. And we'll show you that picture in a second. But, you know, one of the verses that really stood out to me as I look back at that time is, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And these group of men really just poured into me. And, you know, they were sharpening me every day. And, you know, coming into a Bible study that hadn't been something that I did in the past, and I did it because I had a relationship with Jared, and I trusted him, and he had connected with me. But as I got in there, they really started to pour into me. And if you go to the next slide, they actually all are groomsmen in our wedding as well. So continue to be an important part of our lives. At the same time, I met Lauren. We actually met Halloween of our freshman year. And, you know, I started to realize that Lauren's faith and her confidence in God was different than mine. You know, she would pray before every meal and put God first in many ways that started to reveal things to myself, and we would have discussions and debates about, you know, what we believed. And after that, Jared invited me to dinner one night, and he wanted to walk me through a Knowing God Personally booklet. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with that. That's one of the tools that Campus Crusade has. And I think at the time he was trying to teach me how to use it to share with others. And he got to partway through this little booklet and asked the question, hey, Kevin, how sure are you that you're going to go to heaven? One of the key questions that you ask in the Knowing God Personally booklet. And my answer was...
Wait, you got to tell him. There was a scale.
There's
right?
a scale.
Zero
yeah.
to 100%.
Zero to 100%. How sure are you that you're going to go to heaven? And I answered him 83%. And he kind of... First of all, he's like, that is a really specific number. Why are you so specific on this? And it was a B, you know. It's like it was a good 83%. And then of course he dove into, wait a second, why not 100%? And it was really in that moment, and he shared with me, really there's no sliding scale here. There is no 0 to 99%. If you've given your life to Jesus and you trust him, you're 100%, you know? And he was walking me through that, and it was in that moment that it became absolutely clear to me that I had never taken that step of truly giving my life to Jesus. And actually, what I was doing was minimizing what Jesus had done on the cross for me and the magnitude of that by believing that I could do anything in addition to that to earn God's love, to earn a ticket into heaven. And so if you go one more slide forward, and this verse really stood out for me, and now and at the time, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Again, not by works, so that no one can boast. There is nothing in addition to what Jesus has already done for us on the cross that we can do ourselves. And so it continues to be a process, but you know, God was really replacing that striving that I had for success and approval and perfection with a realization that Jesus is the only perfect person. He already died the death he did not deserve so that I could go to heaven that I absolutely don't deserve. You know, God continued to grow me a lot through the college years. Had the opportunity to lead Bible study with one of the other guys that was in the picture. We'll talk a little bit more about our calling, and I'll transition back to Lauren.
Thank you. So 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And so I'm so thankful that God brought me through my fears and insecurities to show me what it means to live freely in Christ by someone who's holy and completely loved. So for me, my calling as I look forward, you know, God replaced those lies that I believed about myself with his truth and his love. And so I experienced freedom from my prison, and I've been able to live with a focus now on what is the Lord calling me into and how can I step into that without this fear and anxiety. So the passion that I feel like God has given me is actually around Christian parenting. So I really have a passion for creating frameworks for parents to disciple their kids at home. Also equipping parents with having a firm foundation on truth so that they can have conversations that will help their kids from a young age start building a firm foundation on truth so that as they face those bigger and more challenging questions in life, you've got building blocks that you've worked your way up to. And so ultimately, I want to take the timeless truths from the Bible and make them practically applicable in today's culture as we really work to turn the next generation's hearts towards God. So I'm really excited to be a part of Kids Church here at Every Nation Taipei, where I can help your kids and mine really learn how to live in that freedom of Christ and see the calling that God's designed each of us for. And so wrapping that up for me, God doesn't want us to live lives of fear. He wants to help us overcome. He wants us to be broken free from whatever prison that we're in, whether that's sin in the form of shame, guilt, fear, so that we can live lives that freely are in Christ.
So I'll share a little bit more about my calling again, this idea of replacing my striving with God's sufficient grace. And as I gave my life to him, it's really been an ongoing process beyond that. I think the first transformation that happened was, okay, I'm 100%. I know that I'm going to go to heaven. And I trusted in that and knew that. And so the striving for earning God's love immediately went away. And I just felt really the presence of the Holy Spirit in me, guiding me in that. But at the same time, I think my upbringing and other things, I still had this urge to chase after success in other areas. Early on, that was, striving for control in my life. And then from a career perspective, really trying to earn wealth and earn success in my career. Even though I didn't feel like I needed to earn heaven, I felt like I should and could still earn success in my life. And over many years early in my career, still trying to control everything within my career to earn that success. And it wasn't until, probably two and a half years ago that God brought this verse in front of me that just completely shifted my thinking about what it meant to be successful. And in Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18, it says, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." And this was Moses talking to the Israelites as they're about to go into the promised land, reminding them that this has nothing to do with what you've done. You've done nothing to earn this. In fact, if anything, you've probably earned the opposite of what you're about to receive in the promised land. And it became so clear to me in that moment that my career, my success, anything that I achieve actually has nothing to do with me, and it's all what God has done through me, and that he wants to bless me, and he has given me the ability to achieve anything that I do achieve. And so, again, it has nothing to do with me trying harder. And this made it very clear to me that two things needed to change in my life. And the first one was that I was putting work and urgencies of life before God. God wants to be first in our life, first in everything. And so for me, that was a shift from fitting a quiet time into my life whenever I could to putting that quiet time first every single day. And specifically for me, that meant that I will not check email and I will not check text messages. I will not do anything work-related until I can sit down and have time with the Lord and trust that all of those urgent things that might be there, they really don't need to happen right now. And in fact, time with the Lord is so much more important. So that was a transformation that I made in my life. And then the other one was I was using weekend time to be prepared for whatever that next meeting was on Monday morning. And so I found that most days, even throughout the weekend, I was still working. Even if it was just a mental thing where I was thinking about how to be more prepared for the week ahead. And God just made it clear to me that I needed to abide in him and have a Sabbath every single week. And so 24 hours on Sunday, I make sure that all email, all of that stuff turns off, and I tried my best to mentally shift gears and focus on him, focus on the family, focus on all those other things. And, that foundation helped me to have a much clearer calling for what does God want to use my career for, as opposed to me trying to achieve success. What does it mean to bless others through the opportunities that he's given me and where he's put me in my career? And our church back in Austin actually has this framework for blessing others. And each letter in BLESS is an acronym that stands for something. And so B stands for begin with prayer. L stands for listen with care. E stands for eat together. S stands for serve others. And then finally, the last S is share your story. And so that approach of trying to bless others, I try and put that first in my career, first in all engagements that we have. And, so I try and pray for my team members and my colleagues every single day, taking the opportunity to listen and learn about what their dreams are and what their challenges are, making time to eat together and build relationships. Aspiring to be a servant leader and be not thinking about myself and putting myself first, but really thinking about how can I help others grow and achieve what they're looking to achieve. And then finally, sharing this story that God has given me about seeking him instead of seeking success in my life, and not doing it through my own striving. So as I mentioned in the beginning, our time here in Taiwan has already been a period of significant growth. We're so excited for how God's moving through this church and that we get to be a part of this. And we're excited to see what he has in store for us while we're here. And I'll just spend a quick minute closing us up. So, you know, I'll ask the same question to all of you that Jared asked me back in March of 2005. How sure are you on that scale of 0 to 100%, how sure are you that you're going to go to heaven today? God wants you to be sure. He doesn't want you to feel like you have to strive and earn his love or earn a ticket into heaven by being successful or achieving something. You know, if you're unsure today, if you'd say 83% or whatever your number would be, maybe higher than that, maybe you're 98 or 99%, but still not quite 100%. Maybe you're striving for perfection. You know, you can trust that Jesus' perfection covers over all of your imperfection. And here in a moment, I'll pray to close us up, and I'll say the same prayer, actually, that Jared led me in back many years ago. And I'll also say that, you know, Lauren and I will stand up here in the front during the last song and after service. As long as our kids aren't too crazy, we'll stay as long as we can. And we'd love to hear from any of you if there's something that we said that reminded you of your story, or if you have any questions about any of our story or our upbringing, we'd love to hear from you. But let's pray to close up. Thank you, God, for your sufficient grace. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, the only perfect person, to die on the cross for our sins, to cover over our imperfections. God, if there's anyone here today feeling less than 100% sure, I pray that you would just move in them and bring them to you and make it so clear to them that you don't want them to strive for your love, that your love is freely given. And God, I'll pray the same prayer now that Jared led me in that just transformed my life. God, I admit that I am a sinner and I am imperfect and there is nothing I can do to achieve your love. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins to give me that ticket into heaven, to be there for me every step of the way and to give me an opportunity to have a relationship with you, God. And finally, I commit my life to you that I will not strive to earn your love. God, I just pray that you would continue to move in our lives, Lord. God, I thank you that you gave us this opportunity to share today. And God, I just love you and thank you for your Son and what he did on the cross for us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.